لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If you look at professional sports, one of the things that you'll realize is that those people who play or participate in professional athletics, they put a lot of time and a lot of effort before they actually get in the game. So a person might watch a basketball game which may last maybe 1, maybe 2 hours, but for that 1 or 2 hours of playing time, there's hours and hours of effort and preparation that goes on behind the scenes. There's morning AM practices, there's weekend practices, there's planning, there are team plays, and all this type of preparation just so that one can perform when they actually get on the field. Now, every player knows that the thing that's important, or that his objective, is to get on the playing field, is to get on the court and perform there. And all of this is preparation for that real performance that's going to take place. Now, if anyone ever saw a basketball player or football player who says, "No, I don't want to go and play the game. I just rather just keep on running laps right here on this field for the rest of my life, right? Because that's what's important to me." Person would say, "Man, you're missing the whole point, right? The whole point is not to keep on running laps. The point is to get in the game. The point is to get in the game." In a very similar way, our whole life is actually preparation for the day that we'll have to actually stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be really game time, where a person has to ask, has to answer, has to respond, has to conceivably account for everything they said, everything they did, even perhaps every action and occurrence can technically be brought under surveillance and can technically be brought forth as an argument against us on that day. So that's game time. And all of life is preparation. All of life is preparation. And so a lot of times in talks and bayans, in lectures, there's a tremendous amount of emphasis in trying to get people to concentrate and realize that your practice on the track and field or in the playground or on the off-site court is not the purpose. The purpose is actually something else. However, something that's not often talked about, but that is important to realize, is that sometimes it's actually important to stay on, not to get into the game. It's actually important to be in the practice arena. So in another way, that's basically saying that in some ways it's important for us to actually be in the dunya rather than be in the akhirah. Now, that might actually sound as like a novel concept or something which is unheard of, because everything that we've always, whether we do it or not is a separate issue, but everything we're often told is that we should only worried about the akhirah. We should only know this dunya is nothing and our real life is the life of the akhirah, so on and so forth. But under certain circumstances and in a certain context, it actually is important to stay in the practice arena and to want to stay in the practice arena. So perhaps that football player or that basketball player who keeps on running laps, and he says, "Oh no, I'd rather just keep on running laps," perhaps he's not so off the mark, right? In particular situations. And so there's talk of 3 different types of situations. when a person actually doesn't necessarily want to end their life, but they want to actually prolong their life. You don't want to die, but you actually want to live. I mean, people who are the sons of the Akhirah or the daughters of the Akhirah, they're just yearning to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're yearning to get close with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for them, death is just a stepping stone by which they can become united by their beloved. But what are those situations where a person's not ready to necessarily step on that stepping stone? So one reason a person would want to stay in back in the dunya and not to actually do tamanna for death is if they want to perfect their own inner qualities. Perfect their own inner qualities. So in our example of the football player, right, who's running laps, the football player might say that, you know, I'm running a mile in four, but I want to break 3:05, you know, 3.5 minutes before I actually start getting on the court, on the football field. So I'm going to train a little bit more. If a person wants to remain in the dunya so that they can actually perfect their own self, then that is actually something which is not only admissible, but that's something which is honorable. The second reason why a person may want to stay within the dunya is so that they can earn more reward. They can earn more reward to take with them for the akhirah. Right? So if a person... it's almost like a person who spends so much time preparing that when they actually get into the game, then they get actually a big bonus, right? Whether they perform or not, but because they put so much effort in a certain way, they get a bonus reward, right? And they're known as the person who spent the most. They're the, even if they don't be the MVP on the field in the actual game, they will always be noted as the people who put the most effort, right, in practice, and they're standouts in that sense. And in the way that really works is a person who's actually preparing and who's prepared adequately, then they actually will perform better when it comes to game time as well. So second reason to actually, you know, desire to continue to live is so that a person can actually have more reward and gain in more reward before they actually enter and have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. And that actually goes to show us that every single day, every single minute that is passing, we want to optimize, make the most of that time. You can't just ignore it and just let life pass you by. No, there's a lot of people who want to live, right? Everyone wants to live. And most people don't even know why they want to live, but it's one of the most instinctual of, you know, human needs. If you ask someone why do you need to work, they say, well, if I don't work, I won't have money. But just not having money is no problem. But they say, well, why do you need money? They said, well, if I don't have money, then I can't buy food. Well, if you don't have food, inherently, that itself is not a problem. Well, if you don't have food, what will happen? Well, if I don't have food, then I'll be hungry. Well, that might start being a problem because a person starts to feel some physical, you know, pain when he doesn't eat. But, you know, it's not lethal, if you want to think of it that way. But then, so what's the problem with being hungry? They say, well, if I have nothing to eat, then I'll die. So the most primary thing that people are scared of, the thing that scares people to death, right, pardon the pun, is dying, right? No one likes to die. But people want to live for the wrong reasons. And if we change those reasons about why we want to live, then it makes all the difference in the world. It's like Robert Frost when he talks about taking the path less trodden, that, you know, he was walking in the forest and then there was a divergence or bifurcation on the path, and he chose to, you know, travel the path less trodden, and in his life that made all the difference. Or at least maybe not in his life, but at least in the poem that made all the difference. And for many of us, that's what it comes down to. That there'll be two different people who might be on the surface leading completely analogous, completely similar lives. That you look on the surface, this person is working as an IT professional, that person is working as an IT professional. This person is making 50,000, that person is making 50,000. That person has two children, this person has two children. On the surface, their lives look completely similar. But one is doing it for a completely different reason, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with him, because that's what Allah wants. And the other person is doing it because he wants to have more dunya. On the surface, they're leading the same exact life. But it's that change in trajectory, that change in niyyah, right? The reason why they want to continue to live, the reason why they're doing what they're doing, that makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world. So that was the second reason. And then the third reason The third reason is so that you can prepare better for death. Because after death, right, when a person is actually on the court, right, and the announcer's calling the person's names, and you know the lights are flashing and people are cheering, a person can't say, "Oh, let me go back. I want to take a couple of practice free throws, and you know I want to make sure that my, you know, I want to strengthen my quadriceps a little bit more." No, it's too late, right? You're already on the court now. No one's going to take a time out now, so that you can prepare more. So in the same way, a person wants to desire to live further, then a reason would be for preparation of death. Now it's very interesting that, you know, you look at Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I would not have wished to live, right? I would have not liked to live further, except that it were for three things. One was that so that he could fight in the cause of Allah. Number two, so that he could endure pain at night, and we'll talk about what that means. And number three, that he could sit amongst those who select the purest of words the way that certain individuals select the best of dates. So that was what he said. أو كما قال رضي الله تعالى عنه. So, I mean, if you look at the early jurists, you know, people who narrate from Imam Shafi, they say that according to Imam Shafi, the most noble of deeds after the compulsory deeds is the seeking of knowledge. And the same thing has been narrated from Imam Abu Hanifa, from his students, and the same thing has been narrated from one of the students of Imam Malik as well, that after you get done with the compulsory deeds, what is the best thing to do, that it is to actually seek knowledge. But if you look to the qawl of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, there's actually different riwayats or different statements from him, different narrations. One narration actually, according to him, is that it is best to, you know, fight in the cause of Allah. He said, after compulsory deeds, that's the best thing. Number two thing that he's, another narration from him that's narrated from him, he said, after the compulsory deeds, the best thing to do is to actually engage in nafil ibadat, an optional ibadat. And there's a third opinion, which is in line with the opinion of the other great imams, in which he actually states that the best thing is to actually seek knowledge. So if you look at the qawl of, and there's proofs behind each one of those, but if you look at Umar radiallahu an and his statement, when he says that the thing, if it were not for three things, then he would have not liked to live further, and that was what? Number one, for the sake, fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's jihad, right? So that's one of those categories. And number two, the reason that he continued or wanted to continue to live was so that he can endure pain at night, meaning that in the night he could stand up in the worship of Allah. And so over here you get the second riwayah, which is the nafil ibadat. And this was embodied, crystallized in the person of Umar radiallahu anhu and in the Sahaba in particular, but in the Sahaba in general. And the final thing, that I'd like to sit with those who pick the purest of words, the way that people pick the most selective dates. And what that meant was that he wanted to engage in the seeking of knowledge. And so all three categories were embodied, were combined in the person of the Sahaba. And after them, Ibn Qayyim, he says that after that time, it's only that you'll find a portion in a person. But all three, you know, combined in an individual, this is something which was, I mean, if not maybe not with exclusivity, but it was very peculiar with the Sahaba. So what we understand is that even though the Sahaba were the ones who were so intent upon capitalizing on perfecting their akhirah, they also understood that there was a place, there was a need to actually concentrate on the dunya. But that concentration on the dunya was only important in as much as it translated into a person performing better when it comes, quote unquote, game time. It was only important in a way that it would optimize one's akhirah. So if a person wants to think about رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good in this life and good in the akhirah, living the good life doesn't mean driving a Mercedes or a BMW or living in a mansion. Living the good life actually means being able to engage in those things that makes one's akhirah more beautiful, that one makes one's akhirah, you know, tremendous, majestic, beautiful, rewarding, and one, it makes one who is, you know, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. The one story comes to mind, and we'll close with that. I was sitting with my teacher one time, and he narrated the story when he and his teacher, or he and his colleague, they had actually gone to, you know, one of the Haramain. I don't remember if it was Mecca or Medina. And they wanted to go and meet a very righteous individual that they had heard of, you know, like a saint of Allah. So they searched, and eventually they came upon this person, individual's residence. So they went up the stairs, perhaps they were narrow, and went up to the person's residence and found an old man sitting in very austere, perhaps very austere settings. And they said that, you know, we came to meet such and such person. And they thought that this was the individual. He was quite aged and elderly. And he said, oh, you've come to meet them? He said, that's my father, right? That's my father. Why don't you just wait? So they said, okay, fine. So after a little while, they saw someone come in, and it was a strapping lad in the prime of his youth with a jet black beard and, you know, robust and strong. He was carrying in perhaps pails of water, and he said, this is the individual that you were looking for. And they were just shocked, right? They said, this is a person who's, you know, in his strapping youth. How can this be the person? This is your father? And so they went and asked him. And basically what it turns out is that the person had made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him youth and a long life. And then, so they, you know, there were both scholars who had gone to visit him. So, you know, one of them was a mufti, if not both of them. So they said that if you had anything to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why don't you just ask for him, you know, his wisal? Why don't you ask for a direct connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he said, you know, he said that we had already attained from before. So once he had achieved this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as long as he was alive, right, every single day, every single minute, every single hour that was passing in his life, he was increasing how much reward he would have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he had this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it wasn't a stage, or it wasn't a phase of decline. It was actually every day or every moment, in a sense of a person can think, was a stage of ascent. And that's why a person wanted to continue to live. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lives which are focused on Him, and which are focused on optimizing and capitalizing on our akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make the dunya our objective nor our goal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.